Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Today's show, my guest, we're going to be talking about kids, but we're going to be talking about kids from a different perspective. We hear about a lot of things, but my guest, Irene Smalls, we're going to be talking a little bit in a moment about her children's book, but she has got a very, very special project that she's involved with. And when I became aware of her wonderful concept called Litera Size, I should say, she has really worked very hard towards getting this level of accomplishment out there for families with challenges as far as getting their kids excited about reading. I want to welcome to the airwaves Irene Small. Hi, Irene, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Donna. It's a great pleasure to be a guest on your show.
Well, I'm really enthusiastic about what you've done. Now, I've got your book, Jonathan and His Mommy, and it's very, very nicely done. But before we go into that book, I want to give a little bit of your background. And you have always had a passion for reading, and you credit your kindergarten teacher, Miss Loretta Abbott, who got you interested in reading, but also in some other things. She actually stimulated your writing, your desire for writing, and to get involved in movement and dancing. So when you grew up and decided you wanted to do something on your own, you got a master's degree in behavioral science from New York University and an arts and sciences degree from Cornell University. And with your family, you found that what you had learned from your kindergarten teacher was really worth passing on, and that also influenced your book. And then you got involved in scientific research regarding learning, and you have been, you're a lifetime educator. Why was this teacher in kindergarten so significant that she was able to influence your life? What was the magic about her?
Well, the magic was that I was a kinesthetic learner, which means that I learned from movement. And the trend in school was that you had to sit still and you had to be quiet. So I walked into kindergarten. I told her I was smart enough already. I didn't need to go to school. I didn't need to learn how to read or write. And she agreed with me. She told me, well, you are very smart. But she said, you know, we play games. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, I love games. And she says, oh, yeah. And then we'll have snack a little later. And I was just sold on snacks. And so I decided I was going to stay in kindergarten a little bit, and I was going to have some snacks and play some games, and then I was going home because I was smart enough already. And so she opened up a book, and she read Little Brown Baby with the Sparkling Eyes, Who's Daddy's Partner and Mama's Joy. And at the time, the reading text for the entire United States was Fun with Dick and Jane. I'll never forget, mm-hmm. Fun with Dick and Jane. And Dick and Jane were two white children with blonde hair and blue eyes. They lived in a house in a white picket with a white picket fence, and they had a sister named Sally and a dog named Spot. And I grew up in public housing in New York City, in Harlem, that was 99% African American, where everybody was from the South, and it was a totally different experience. And the fact that my teacher engaged me not only around activity and movement, but also around seeing myself in books. I saw myself in the story of Little Brown Baby, because I was called the Little Brown Baby Girl. So I think it was a combination. It was sort of a double whammy. She got me by my heart, and she got me by the bottom of my feet, and had me moving and enjoying stories and images of myself. And
well,
it was a wonderful combination, and all of the things that she did were movement related, that we'd never sat still to do anything. I mean, we learned our alphabet tracing around the room. We had a little hat to go with this book. We had a little skirt, paper skirt we made that went with that book. And so everything was movement and activity. And for five-year-olds, that's like heaven, because we love to wiggle. And that's what we do naturally. And so that's what my kindergarten teacher used as a means of teaching.
She was brilliant. And she probably didn't get one award from anybody. But I'll tell you what, just hearing about a teacher like that reminds me of a very good friend of mine, Carol, who, with some older students, she usually got stuck with third graders, and that's what she used, was the word, I usually got stuck, because she had a principal of a school that would endow her with what he considered the junk of the third grade level. I mean, really, that was his mentality. These kids, you're not going to do anything, just make sure we pacify them, so we pass them on. And she looked at him when she found out, because all this 1 year she got all of these students, and she said they couldn't read. They couldn't write. They couldn't do anything, and they were in the third grade. And so what Carol did, she is like this teacher that inspired you. Carol looked at the principal. She said, what do you mean? We cannot just pass these children along. This is appalling. He said, well, we're not really worried. So she got disgusted. She said, I got news for you. Before this year is out, these kids are going to do great. And what they ended up doing, and I share this story only because it complements what you're doing and what your teacher that inspired you so much did. And by golly, before the end of the year, all of her kids, every single one of these
literacy challenge students,
that they, every one of them, were part of a national competition for writing a story. These children wrote the story. They invented the characters. They brought these characters to life, and everyone was beyond the third grade level by the end of that year in their reading and their writing and their mathematics. It was just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Wow.
So when you tell me about someone like your teacher who inspired you, I think of the students that Carol, you know, was able to inspire and the love she has of learning, just like you have that love of teaching and learning and passing it along with a sense of joy that children pick up on, because that lasts their entire life. Now, you have a literacize equals literacy plus exercise. You have brought in childhood obesity, which we hear just about every day, either through media, the written media, or the verbal media, or the visual media. And I think sometimes we create such havoc because our systems have not encouraged children to move. We're supposed to be robotic doomkoffs that are sitting in a classroom, and that's not the way the kids are. Kids are not that way. I have never known any generation of angelic, quiet children. They don't exist.
No, they don't. Most definitely. And interesting is that scientists tell us that exercise and movement helps in the formation of new brain cells, and that by forcing kids to sit still for up to 6 hours a day, we're really shutting down and limiting their ability to learn. Because 25% of the blood flow from every heartbeat goes to the brain, and so when a child is moving, the heart is getting more blood to the brain, more nutrients to the brain. You have a more alert and more attentive brain, and we've been making them sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has just been the antithesis of what school is purported to do, which is to learn, as have children learn and be educated. And so what Literacize does is that it's literacy-based, literacy-related exercise and movement. So we may take a children's book like Jonathan and His Mommy, and we do the book. We do the reggae steps. We do the bunny steps. We do the ballet steps. We may take, let's say, a piece of literature about the brain, and we're going to do a special exercise where the kids get to move quickly and then test their heart rate. You know, and so they become the scientists. They take ownership of their learning, and the idea of literacy also incorporates kids understanding how the body works. The one thing that has really shocked me is how little children know about their bodies. I was in one classroom, and I said, okay, we're going to start by taking our heart rates, and one little boy raised his hand and said, I don't have a heart rate. And I said, sweetheart, I assure you, you have okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we will teach you how to find. For him to understand what a heart is and what it means. It was just like, oh, you mean this thing in this, I can feel the beating here, and that's going throughout my whole body, and I can feel it at my wrist, and I can feel it, oh my goodness. It was like a light bulb went off in his head to understand the relationship between the movement and the activity and how it affects the overall body, not just the brain. So it was just kind of exciting to kind of share, because I think that science and art are so closely related, and we don't always exploit that. So what Literacize is meant to do is make that art-science connection, taking the art of poetry and literature and connecting it to the science of how the body works. So children gain ownership, and I mean complete ownership of the material, because they're able to retain and to understand better, and also ownership in terms of they understand how their bodies work.
Now, Irene, you had a big activity done at your Boston Public Library, and you've got a project that you're very deeply involved with right now. Tell us about that.
Well, I was fortunate to get a grant. I got a $100,000 grant to take the Literacize concept and to put it in three dimensions. So I had a team of people, architects, designers, and we put together a three-dimensional Jonathan Mommy book, where literally children walked into the book, and it was completely bilingual in English and Spanish. It had education panels for teachers and educators on the importance of exercise and fitness to learning, and it was about 1,000 square feet. It was amazing, and it was almost like an upside-down book. That was the basic design, and to read the story, you had to move, because if you stood in one spot, you only got one sentence. So to read the next sentence, move over here, and then to read the next sentence, you had to duck under the tunnel, and it had doorways and, you know, secrets to find and all these little tunnels that kids could play in, and it was just glorious. And we had this fabulous opening where we had a 7-foot bunny and 6 ballerinas twirling, because it has the ballet steps, and we had the Rasta reggae man doing, you know, the Rasta dance, and we had a glorious time. And then it was just open to the public whenever the library was open, and families and children would come in, and the librarian said, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful, because sometimes in the library you get kids who are a little active. Guess what? We just say, okay, you can go right there and play, and they loved it. So now, what I'm looking to do is to, I applied for a Pepsi Refresh Everything grant. Pepsi's giving away $1.3 million a month to people with good ideas, and I'm hoping to get enough votes to be able to fund taking the Literacy Plus Exercise exhibit around the country.
Well, that is a tremendous, tremendous goal to work for, and what a wonderful project by Pepsi to be supportive of a program like that. I think it is just it's just absolutely marvelous. So they're giving away $1.3 million a month?
A month. And the thing is, it's like American Idol. So it's strictly based on online votes. And so we applied for a $250,000 grant. They're giving away 10 $5,000 grants, 10 $10,000 grants, 10 $25,000 grants, 10 $50,000 grants, and 2 $250,000 grants. So it's a daunting kind of competition, but I have learned more. It started April 1st, it ends April 30th, and you can vote once a day, every day, until the end of your voting period, until April 30th. And so I have just been networking and meeting people and chatting and going to schools and talking up the people to vote. And it's been a wonderful experience. But the idea is that the Literacy Plus Exercise exhibit is something that applies to libraries. It can be used in schools and school festivals, book festivals, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that it's completely bilingual, so that everything that's in English is in Spanish, is something that really appeals to a lot of school districts who have a large Latino population.
Now, Irene, the book Jonathan and His Mommy, it is beautifully illustrated. And what is the age group for this particular book?
Yes, Michael Hayes was the illustrator. And Jonathan and His Mommy was really a love song I wrote for my son when he was 3 years old. He was a busy little boy. I was always chasing that boy, but I remember kindergarten. So rather than me saying, stop, don't, no, I just said, let's play a game. And the game was Jonathan and His Mommy. And one day I just wrote it down, and that became the book.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, the illustrations of it are just so good. But what would be the age bracket? Would you say it would be for what?
Kindergarten. Kindergarten through about second grade.
Kindergarten through second grade. Now, what I liked about the book is that I feel, and just because I've been very involved with children's books and I know how important reading is, but this is a book that a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle could do something a little bit differently, because you could be reading to the child and, you know, it's like Jonathan wanting to go walking with his mom and then zigzagging down a street. Well, this is a great thing to do. And in fact, if there are teachers listening, this is something you could do in your kindergarten, first or maybe even second grade class, depending on the reading level of your students. But you could actually act this out as you're going along. And, of course, your particular program that you were working with in the library allowed kids to do exactly that. But that's what you do. And I think your artist just did such a good job of conveying through his imagery the interaction with mom and son. And I think that this is just so well done that it just flows through an entire day. What I like about it is that it's not silly for a parent to interact with a child like this. And this is part of the learning process. This is part of mimicking. I think of a girlfriend of mine that's teaching her granddaughter about baking, and she's a little girl's only 2 years old, and she already has her own little apron. She's got her stool, and she goes in and lets her grandma know when she's ready to go to work, and she says, okay, cookie, you know, and they're off and running. And it's the same with this book. It is absolutely wonderful, and I know the School Library Journal said, the bond between mother and child makes this a great book for one-on-one sharing, which we've just been discussing. The generous visual scope and delightful cadence also make it a wonderful group read aloud, but they can also participate. And that's what I think is so absolutely marvelous. Now, you have written other books. This is your fifth book, am I correct?
Yes.
And
I am looking to kind of really produce a series of activity-oriented books that, you know, I really like motion. I really like the opportunity to have kids physically engage with the story. And so what this is meant to do is that to be sort of a template in terms of stories that parents and children can do together, because it's no cost. Taking a walk doesn't cost anything. And it is very, very creative in that children and adults can have fun with each other.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Irene, I just think this is absolutely wonderful, and I am just totally supportive of anything that is going to empower children to, one, love to read, two, be active, be healthy, and to have a sense of joy about themselves, their bodies, and interaction with life. And I think that what you are doing as an author, as a speaker, as a presenter, and interacting with your libraries, I just think is absolutely marvelous, and I really am excited about this competition. So for those of you listening, we're going to tell you, if you want to help Irene get this grant, and of course all of our people that listen to this show are very web savvy, what is the website that they go to, Irene, to participate in the activity of giving you a vote? And also, what is your website that they will go to find out more about your publications and all the other things that you do?
Well, my website is www.literacise.com. And to vote in the Pepsi Refresh Everything Grant Program, it's www.refresheverything.com/power of play, because my premise is that the power of play is so effective and so important that we can have kids perform at their best academically and also have excellent health. And so it's a combination of the two that really would make the difference, because we want children, we're looking at the whole child, the mind as well as the body.
All right, now I want you to give that website out one more time. It's refresheverything.com, and take it from there.
Okay, /power, P-O-W-E-R, of, O-F, play, P-L-A-Y. So it's that's me on the Pepsi website. And if you get to the Pepsi Refresh Everything grant program and you can't find me, you can always type my name in the search bar. I've applied for $250,000 grant to fund the traveling exhibit.
All right. Well, there you've got it. Irene has just flown in from a particular area, so I'm very glad she was able to make the show today. Irene, I know you're home in Boston. You're going to have a chance perhaps to catch your breath, but you're really working hard towards accomplishing what you want to accomplish with this grant from Pepsi. So refresheverything.com/powerofplay, or you can type her name, Irene Smalls, and that's IreneSmalls. And again, go to her website, literacise, literacise.com, and you'll be able to find out more about this wonderful program. Irene, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. Good travels to you. The best of luck on your entrance into this opportunity with Pepsi, and I wish you well.
Okay, thank you so much, Donna, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to hear you again. Have a great
evening.
Thank
you, Irene. Best of luck. This is Donna Sebo, and Irene, she is now gone, but we are going to be chatting about some other things. And I want to let you know that the telephone lines are now open. You can call me at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Education is so very important, and we've been talking about dealing with children, and I also think it's important for the older generation to get going. I have been amazed at conversations that I've had with people of different ages. I meet people in their 30s and 40s that maybe have been excited about education, have gone through college, but then they reach a plateau and they go, well, I don't really need to go on with my education anymore. Well, our world is changing very quickly. I meet people who are, let's say, in their 60s or 70s, and they go, oh, well, at my age, I really don't know that I need to do much of anything. The world is changing, folks, and I'm not just talking about technology. I'm talking about belief systems. I'm talking about understanding that the last thing that is a false truth, how can I say this? There's a false truth out there, and that is that you don't need to do much of anything after a certain time in life. And I've heard this from different people of different ages. You have the younger generation that thinks people in their 60s or 70s, 50s, 60s or 70s, of course, anybody that age is always considered ancient by the younger generation. That's the way it's been forever. But the truth is, when you're young, you need to understand your education is very vital, but it doesn't stop when you graduate from high school or when you graduate from college. It goes on. Why? Because of the tremendous breakthroughs that are occurring. The younger generation needs to learn from the older generation, but they also have to move forward with their own thinking, and it's a process. And the action of change is moving at such a speed in today's world, it is not a joke. If you're of the older generation, you need to get up off your mental duff, realize the idea of the rocking chair, apple pie on your front porch, and you don't do anything but just watch the world go by isn't going to work. We've gone through tremendous economic upheavals throughout the world, no matter where you are. And so that a generation that's in their 60s or 70s, they're thinking, wait a minute, I don't feel like my grandmother or my parents did. I feel a lot younger than quote-unquote 60. I'm not a Methuselah. I've got a lot of energy here. Where can I put myself? We're in a fascinating era here. People that were considered old in their 70s, hey, they're now in their 40s. Seriously, they are taking better care of themselves if they're smart, and they're saying, I don't have to follow the same patterning the previous generations followed. And it's the same thing with the youth. I watched something on television last night. I just saw a few minutes of this, and it really meant a lot to me, so I wanted to share it with you today. It was about three young people. They were in college, and part of what they had to go through was, you might say, an exploration. And they went into Australia, and they were funded by a grant that enabled them to explore explore cultural aspects of things. I don't know exactly what the grant entailed because I didn't see that part of the program. However, they go into Australia and they end up meeting an Aboriginal, a man whose family at one time had been what you would call the custodians. His family had been custodians of a certain area in Australia. And he was sharing with them, they were sitting out on dirt, on a blanket, and this is the red dirt of Australia, and they're sitting there, and these young people who have never, ever experienced anything outside of the narrow world that they had been raised in, which is not unusual. Most of us, when we were younger, our world is quite narrow. Very seldom is it opposite. Why? Because parents want to take care of you. They want to insulate you. They want to make sure that you're going to make it. Get over the hump, as you might say, and get to 21 or 22. Well, these young people had gone through that, and here they enter into a world that maybe they had read about or heard about, but they had no association with until they actually were sitting and listening to the stories of this elderly Aborigine. Now, he was vital. He was active, but he had the gray hair, he had the long beard, and he fit the image that they would expect being in their 20s of someone who was in their 70s or their 80s. But this person was not anything but vital. This person was very active in life. This person was saying, I will share with you what I know, and I share it with you because you're young. You're going to make a difference. Now, interestingly enough, these young people, a couple of them, decided they had wanted to be involved in law. But they had become very disillusioned with the environment that they were receiving schooling in. They just didn't find any purpose or any value. By the time they finished this experience, they documented it, they videotaped it, they were interviewed themselves by other people, and it was very emotionally moving. They learned the history about a people, what they had gone through, a history that was very real to the person who was telling their story. They learned about a culture. They learned about different aspects of a culture. All of this is precious. Those young people who, in their own naive state of mind, felt like everything really was pretty much boring, mundane, went back to their home environment inspired because they saw purpose and value not only in their education, but also in taking time to get to know other environments that they never even really had a clue about. They had maybe, again, read about in books. And as this one woman, I can see her, this young woman in my mind, right now, she was in tears. She said, I cannot imagine what these people went through. She was asked, what can you do? She turned to the Aboriginal individual and asked him, what can we do? And he said, understand the law. Learn the law. Learn how justice can be served. Learn how to be the best of your profession with integrity and purpose. And realize that when law is rightfully practiced, then there is good result and justice will be served. So these young people, because of their daring, because of being bored, have taken a part of a life experience back with them, saying, I can make a difference. And that is the power of understanding that within each of us, we have something very special. We're here for a purpose. And your purpose, you have to discover, whatever that may be. Now, I don't know that you're going to go to Australia for it. It might be right in your own backyard. You don't have to travel halfway around the world to find it. Sometimes you do, like these young people. However, if you open your eyes, open your heart, and open your mind, and recognize the strength of who you are and your interests, I think you'll find your whole attitude about life is going to be one, I want to learn more, I want to do more, I want to be more. And that is what life is all about. It's about living, not existing. So no matter what your age, life is for learning. I've got some mental boosters that I can share with you. I've also got some other things, but before we do that, hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. And by the way, if you want to call in, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number is 888-815-9756. And by the way, if you're a new listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, hey, I'm going to be able to give you information. We'll chat and then you can ask me a question about anything you like. Now, by the way, I do want to let you know that on May 1st, I am going to be doing a special program. It's hosted by Bill, and he is with On Achieve Radio. It's going to be from 4 to 6 on the 1st of May, and that is going to be a live broadcast. It's called Super Psychics, and I've been very privileged to be on Bill's show more than once, and I'm looking forward to doing this program with him again. So that has just evolved, and I wanted to let you know. You can tell your friends, so on a Saturday between 4 to 6 Pacific time, then I will be live on air for a couple of hours with Bill at Achieve Radio on his program Super Psychics. Also, for those of you who are sending stories to me, I am wanting to thank you. I have gotten some more stories, interesting experiences that people have had regarding the paranormal. Now, the reason I use the term the paranormal is because for most of us, that is sort of a catch word about anything maybe relating to a ghost, an out-of-body experience, something that for you has been life-changing or has created a change in your thinking that you would not have anticipated you would be going through. So this is something I'm putting together. I'm collecting 100 stories, and I will have a few of mine in the book, but I wanted to ask if you had your special story, if you'd send it to me via email, and be sure in the subject line that you put in stories for Donna's book or something like this so I can identify it easily. I mean, I've been going through a few hundred emails, and I've just got so many hundreds to go through yet, so it's a good thing to have that there so I see it and I identify it. And it's just wonderful to have these come in. I'm so excited about them because it makes a difference, because these are your stories, and your stories count, and your story may have an impact on someone who is looking for something or somebody's story to help them understand what they're going through. So send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And I will be putting it in the file. And I have been letting people know that should your story be accepted, that we will, once the publisher is ready to go on it, then we will probably want to have your contact information, obviously, with your email, so that when the time comes, we can be in touch with you. So if we need to have any release form signed, et cetera, we will do that. Sometimes publishers do that, sometimes they don't. Anyway, just be sure you send it to me, Donna at DelphiInternational.com, or you can send it snail mail if you like. Send it to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Now, I told you I had some brain boosters. Well, I guess for those of you of the more mature generation, this would have an effect, but the truth is, this goes for anybody of any age. Irene, with her Literacize, is doing the very thing that some of these exercises can do for older people. It's always amazing to me how all of these attitudes existed that, gee whiz, you're brain dead after a certain age. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you stay active, if you stay together, you have good nutrition, your brain is going to be absolutely superb in the way that it operates. Now, researchers, this shows you how research goes. It used to be they thought that after a certain age, you would lose 30% of your mental capacity. That's appalling. That's absolutely appalling. That doesn't have to happen. Now, the scientists with their research, because of advanced technology, have done an about turn of 180 degrees. Why? Because they find that information is false. Now, this is what they say. If you want to keep your brain cells in top form, you need to seek out different environments, different ideas, and be around people that are going to challenge you. Hey, if you're young, be around the older generation. If you're older, be around the younger generation and everything in between. It's okay to be challenged. It's okay to ask questions. You want to learn new things. I know of a gentleman who's in his 70s, and Gary is a top-notch master at carpentry. Now, he had a young next-door neighbor move into him that's in his 20s, has been going through vocational school. This is a young man that loves to work with his hands. And in his generation, they've got all kinds of technology that Gary never had a clue about. But Gary has got something like 50 years of hands-on learning experience. Well, he got to know his next-door neighbor, and they're constantly spending time with each other because Gary, as the mature master of carpentry, is teaching this young man the refining points that he learned through years of experience. This young man isn't getting it in school, but what he is getting in school is the understanding of technology, and he's teaching that to Gary. So, generation gap? Maybe. But they're together sharing their concepts, and that is important. Every time you do something different, you learn something new. That's why they're finding people, young and old, that work on the internet, doing research, trying different things. They expand in their thinking and their conceptualizations. It's terrific. Read a book. Yes, read a book. Try a subject you've never tried before in your life. You don't have to be a physicist to read about physics. If you want to learn about gardening, if you want to learn about anything, try something different. Try different games, puzzles. Also, use your imagination. And I think that that is absolutely important. Do you know there's a neuroscientist, Denise Park, she's at the University of Texas in Dallas. She said when people use visualization, especially like with upcoming activities, she said it makes the brain get active in ways they had not expected, and you create new neural footprints. That's right. You're making your brain work, and that is very good. Also, you need to realize that you want to pay attention to new information and also exercise. So if you're introduced to someone, try to make an association. Like if it's Mr. Smith, think of the movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or something else, it'll create a link that you're going to remember that person's name. But there's another thing too, and that is to be active. It's just as important for people of young age to be active. And why in the world, we've cut back on that so much, I haven't a clue. But you've got to stay active. I was talking with a young woman up in Anchorage when I was on my trip, and she makes a point with her children of letting them learn about technology and video games and all kinds of stuff. But she said, we make sure that they get out and they're active. She said, if they're not active, what are they going to do with all this energy? And she said, I've noticed something with my kids. They really get cranky. So we keep them going, and they have daily trips to the, or weekly trips to the library. And she said, we encourage them on different levels. Now, this woman is a maid in a hotel. And you would think, well, at least I know some people who would have this attitude, what would she know? She knows quite a bit. Just because she's a maid in a hotel doesn't mean she's not educated in her own way. And she said, I want my children to be well-rounded. Well, it's the same thing with adults. If you sit on your duff and you don't go anywhere and you don't do anything and you just watch nothing but a bunch of political rah-rah on television, you're going to go brain dead. Realize that life demands change. And yes, we've got a lot of upheaval, but be proactive in your community, in your life. Learn new things. Put yourself out in a volunteer positioning. No matter what your age, you are not going to know everything. And you certainly have a whole world of different, diverse activities and involvements you can get into that are really going to make a difference in your life. So I just wanted to share those little points with you because I think it is necessary. One of my greatest joys is reading. And of course you know that because you know that I interview hundreds of authors a year on my show. I'm going into my eighth year and thousands upon thousands of books have crossed my desk and I've learned something literally out of every single one of them. Some of the material is trite. A lot of it isn't. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction, people have put a lot of time, effort, and energy in trying to convey information. Whether they're a nuclear physicist, a Nobel Prize laureate, or they're a grandma from Arkansas. It doesn't make any difference. They all have something to offer. And that's what you need to keep in mind. I wanted to let you know something about soccer. I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but there's soccer's got a new utility player. It's called a ball called a socket, which generates and stores energy as the players kick it and then provides energy at home. 15 minutes on the field captures enough energy to power a small light for 3 hours and may help people in developing nations replace kerosene, which is a leading cause of respiratory illnesses and fires. Now, they're working on the same principle with flashlights that charge when they're shaken, and the socket is the brainchild of Harvard students Jessica Lynn, Julia Silverman, Jessica Matthews, and Himali Pankar, and it's being funded by the Clinton Global Initiative University and the Walmart Foundation. This ball is going to be sold here in the United States as a high-end cell phone charger, and profits will provide low-cost balls to third-world nations. Whoa! A soccer ball playing and creating energy? Woohoo! That is a good thing to do. Well, I know we're going to go on break. When we come back, I have a unique story for you. Yes. We will share that story with you. Or if you grab a chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756 and I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Look forward to hearing from you. If you want to give me a buzz, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I told you I had a story for you, and it's a love story. Yes, it's a love story. And this goes back to 1981. And this is a story about a lady, a very special lady. And I can remember reading about her many, many, many years ago. And I thought, this is pretty cool. I really would like to share with you. Now, on April 21st, 1981, there was a woman by the name of Seti, and she passed away on that day, and the story says she went to join her Egyptian pharaoh lover, Seti I, with whom she had begun an affair thousands of years earlier. I'm not joking. This is true. It's a true story. Now, her story and the truth of it began actually in 1907. She was born in London, England. Her name was Dorothy Eady. And she was 3 years old, and at that time, she had a bad accident. She fell down a flight of stairs and was pronounced dead by the family doctor. 2 hours later, the doctor comes back to check out the corpse of the three-year-old child, and finds instead that she's playing in bed and she is demanding to be taken home. It was at this time her dreams began of an Egyptian temple. Now, when she was 8, her parents, because she talked about this all the time, about the temple she lived in, that she wanted to go home to Egypt. Well, when she was 8, her parents did exactly that. Well, not exactly that. They took her to the British Museum, which was the next best thing, because they had tremendous archaeological artifacts. Then she discovered the Egyptian galleries there, and she turned to her parents, and she said, "I found my people. This is where I belong." The keeper of the Egyptian antiquities, whose name was Ernest Wallace Budge, was fascinated with her. So he became a friend. And he was amazed at how this little girl was very, very much able to read hieroglyphics. And she would turn to him and tell him that she was merely relearning a language that she had forgotten. Now, gradually through the years, Dorothy remembered the past life as a young Egyptian priestess who had been seduced by Pharaoh Seti I, and then was forced to commit suicide when the relationship between the two of them was discovered. She said the bond still existed very strongly between the two of them, and he would visit her during the night when she would enter her dreamtime experience. Now, Dorothy eventually briefly married a man who was of Egyptian background, and that gave her the opportunity to move to Cairo. And they did have a son together. His name was Seti. Now, when she went to visit in Egypt, Abydos, the home of Seti I, she knew it intimately. She said, "This is really my home." Now, the people in the antiquities department there at the Cairo Museum just thought, "This lady's a nutcase." So they decided they were going to test her. So they took her to the temple, and the head of the antiquities department said she was going to have to find the chapel of Amon. And she went through the maze of corridors at that temple. She went straight to the chapel. And then not only did she accomplish that, but she went on to the Hall of Sacred Boats. From her past life memory, she was able to point out at that time, which had not been discovered, the location of the temple gardens and other enclosures that surrounded the gardens. This was a very profound experience for her. She changed her name to Om Seti, and for the rest of her life, she worked as a healer and also as a respected Egyptologist. Fascinating stories. But she wasn't laughed at after that, after she had the experience of going through the temple. There's so much in life we don't understand, we don't know. But I thought that that story was a fascinating one, and you might be intrigued by it too. So who knows? You may come across her story in another locale, in another place. Well, I have got quickly, I think I'll have time for this, and get your pad of paper and pen, grilled chicken with cilantro pesto. Oh, that's so good. I like a pesto, and cilantro is just out of this world. I love that as a seasoning. Oh, now tomorrow we're going to be having a guest. I want you to know this. Dr. Kirshner, all medicines are poison. And, you know, we're having more and more physicians coming forth and saying, look, folks, take care of your health. Be aware of certain things. And that's what Dr. Kirshner's book is all about. Very experienced physician, and he wants you to know what you need to know about medicines and the fact that the pharmacological products are a kind of poison, and he'll tell you why. Okay, you've got that pad of paper and pen. This is grilled chicken with cilantro pesto. Oh, this is so good. It's going to be cilantro, lime, cumin, jalapeno, pepper. For blog grilled chicken, this is going to be a delicious accompaniment. Now, this is what you need. You're going to need a cup of firmly packed cilantro leaves and an additional one tablespoon of cilantro chopped finely. Then you're going to need three scallions. You want to chop them up, but not real fine. You want those coarsely chopped. You're going to need 1.5 teaspoons of grated lime zest. And then you're going to need 3 tablespoons of fresh lime juice. You can use canned or jarred, but I would say try to make it fresh. It's going to have a whole different flavor to it. 1/2 jalapeno pepper seeded and quartered. And that can be fresh. That'll make it even tangier. But I think also if you wanted to use a canned jalapeno pepper, that's fine. 1/2 is necessary. You need 1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin, 1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin, teaspoon of sugar, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 cup of oil. Olive oil is fabulous. I'd use the extra virgin olive oil so that it doesn't have very much of a strong flavor to it. And then you're going to need 4 chicken leg quarters, 3.5 pounds, or 3.5 pounds of whatever your favorite chicken meat is what I would say. And you might want to have some extra lemon and lime wedges. Now, you want to grill your chicken, but let's talk about how you're going to make your pesto. Now, what you do in a food processor, you're going to pulse 1 cup of the cilantro, the scallions, the lime zest in the juice, the jalapeno, the cumin, the sugar, the salt, and the pepper until they're combined. Then you're going to add the oil gradually. You pulse it until the pesto is smooth. And then with a fork, what you're going to want to do with each chicken quarter, you want to pierce the skin 8 to 10 times, and you want to place it in a large plastic food storage bag. Take 1/4 of a cup of this pesto that you have mixed, and put it in that plastic bag, seal it, refrigerate it for an hour, fix it on the grill, grill it skin side down over direct heat until browned about 10 minutes, and turn it over, transfer it to indirect heat, cover it, and then, of course, you're going to let it cook for about 25 minutes and sprinkle it then with the remaining cilantro and then serve with the remaining pesto. Good stuff. Yum. We're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy spring. It's fabulous. And be grateful for your blessings. You've got a lot to be grateful for. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.